Hi, I'm Chrissy.
And I'm Jess.
And this is Financial Progress. Today, we want to talk about our childhood and how we grew up in, I want to just say, not great neighborhoods. And we just wanted to talk about that a little and how our family dynamics and our early financial struggles impacted us. So Jess, what do you have to say about that?
Sure. I think that obviously our money, like our learnings about money come from our childhood, come from our parents, come from families. We never talked about money at home. It's never like a topic of conversation, but I do have instances where they argued about money. So because of that, I knew that I didn't want to argue about money. I don't know if you had any specific things about money in your household that affected you.
I do remember money arguments. To be honest, I have a lot of my childhood blocked out or blacked out. From my mind.
Snap.
So I grew up in a house that was falling apart. Like the house itself today doesn't exist. It's just, it was torn down because it was just condemned and it wasn't a house that anyone could live in. I remember the back wall falling down. Like it was just, it was a very bad house, like structurally, I should say. But I don't remember a whole lot of talk about money in like a positive light. There was always like kind of the scarcity mindset on it. Mm-hmm. However, as I got older, I do remember my dad talking about credit and how credit is important. And if you have a good credit score, you can get whatever you want in life. So I think that's where some of my financial background comes in, where I always was really focused on building my credit because of that. But I also wasn't focused on like any debt accumulation from that credit usage or anything like that. But I always thought, like my dad said, if you have a good credit score, you could get whatever you want in life. And he wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a good foundation to start with, having a good credit score. So that is the main thing that I can think of from my childhood that had like a positive impact on me. Mm-hmm. But I just remember, like, I do remember the money fights, but I don't remember our parents talking to us much about like money or budgeting or anything like that. And I don't know if it's because they never did it themselves. So it just wasn't talked about much, you know. Yeah. And I think because I had that one conversation with my dad about the importance of credit, it kind of stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of important that we do have these conversations because it does impact you as a kid. I'm glad he did tell me that at a young age because it did stick with me. But having these conversations with children is important to make sure it instills value and foundation.
It definitely should start at a young age. I do remember, obviously, you know, we grew up in the Badlands of North Philadelphia. So I do remember how much poverty we were in the neighborhood, and things were falling apart and trash on the street. Like we had drug corners and shootouts. Like I was in the middle of one. So we did live in some poor conditions until a certain age, but I know that both of my parents were always working. My mom worked during the day. My dad worked at night because they had two kids and no babysitter. So they had to make sure that we were getting taken care of. But I also remember like standing in the welfare line.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, like
I do remember that,
like standing in the welfare line. It was so long. I never knew I never knew what it was really, but I remember like when you get older, you're like, oh yes, that was the welfare line. You have the book with the ripped out money.
Yeah, food stamps. Yeah,
the food stamps, like they were really legit paper money at that time.
Yeah.
Now they're cards.
So. Right. Yeah.
I never really knew what it was or why she got it until I kind of got older. A lot of people would say, oh, you know, I never want to be like that. I didn't know what it was for me to say that, but people were like, no, I don't, you know, I don't want to be on food stamps when I get older. So I remember those things. And we moved to a better neighborhood when I was 12. And I knew it was like a better neighborhood because it was much cleaner. The streets were cleaner. We were still in a row home, but it felt like, I don't know, like more luxurious. Like even though it wasn't like luxurious, but for me, it was just like my mom now owns this home. She bought this home where she was renting before. So that was like a big difference there where she went from renting to buying. And I used to always see my mom, she would have a notebook and she would write stuff on there when she was paying bills, but I never knew what it was and what she was doing. They never talked about it. She just made sure that it was just getting done. But there was a point when I was getting old enough that she was like, you need a bank account. And I was like, okay. So I'm like so happy for those little foundations. She made sure that I had a bank account, even though I didn't have no money to put in there. She made sure that I knew how to write a checkout. She also told me that I had to build my credit as well. And I think one of my first credit cards was like Home Depot, even though I didn't have a house. But she's like, help me use it. And then you remember Finger Hut?
Oh, yes.
That was another one. It will give you like $2 and it'll help you build your credit. But then around the same time, I also started college. And when you walk in through the doors of college, there's a table sitting there and there's a guy like, come get this credit card. You'll get this free shirt. That's what it is. So he's like, so they're like, okay. My mom said I got to build my credit. So I built my credit. And then my limit was probably like $300. It was pretty small at that time. So like I had like some type of foundation that my mom was providing. She helped me understand some things, but I think that's like pretty much everything. And then to be transparent, in the previous episode when we talked about my financial journey and we lost our son, we had two kids at home. We were a family of four living off of one income, was probably like around 30s at that time. We became a low-income family. So what did I have to do? I had to try to apply for food stamps. But tell me why I got denied. I wasn't making no money. They didn't want to give me no food stamps. So the only thing I would get from them was like insurance. But yeah, like, so I at least got some type of help with health insurance.
And just want to say, like, there's no shame in needing help. If you need food stamps, if you're low income and you need that help, then by all means, get that help. There's no shame in doing that. Everyone needs a hand up sometimes. So do what you need to do to get by in this life, because this life is hard. So,
and inflation is ridiculous.
Yes, definitely. Man. I think it's crazy that they denied a family of four who had a 33 income. Like, that just sounds insane to me.
And then the craziest part is that I wanted to look for work. At first, I was just like, I need to be home with my special needs child. But we were so broke that I was like, maybe I should look for work. And I attempted to try to get CCIS, which is to help cover for childcare costs. And they denied me because I didn't have a job in hand. And the thing is just like, well, how am I supposed to go to interviews if I have two kids at home? Who's going to wash my kids so I can go on interviews to get a job? Like, it just, like, the system didn't make sense.
The system is definitely broken. It's that's the best way to describe it. And so many people take advantage of it too. And that's not helpful either, because there's people out there who really do need the help. And sometimes it's not available when they need it. So it's sad, but the system is definitely broken and it needs to change. And I hope that it can and will change in the future to help people who actually need it. But rewinding a little bit, when I was growing up, I feel like I wanted to get a job as soon as I was able to, because of how financially strained we were. And I remember like getting my permit, my worker's permit at what, 15? I think that was it 15 that you were allowed to get it?
Yeah, we were allowed to do 15 and a half in Philly.
Yeah. So at the age of 15, I couldn't wait to get my work permit so I could get a job and make some money. And I was excited.
Permit. I thought you really meant driver's permit. We were allowed, I think, 14.
Was it 14? Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I couldn't wait to start making money. So when I was able to, whatever age that was, I applied for it. And I was so excited to get that because I wanted to make some money, because I wanted to pay for the things that I wanted to buy. Mm-hmm. And there's this mentality in our lives where, like, when we start bringing money in, we kind of start making up for the times where we didn't have the money. So I feel like we overspend and we buy things that we couldn't afford before. So it kind of, it's like a sword's edge, you know, in a way, because it's like, I could afford to buy this now and I'm buying it. Like, I remember making a very poor decision when I was 16 years old. I bought a pair of $100 sneakers that I shouldn't have bought. Why? I've never paid, even in my adult life, I've never paid for a pair of shoes before. But at the time, I was like, I'm making up for lost time. Like, I have this money now and I spent it on things that didn't provide value or like anything to enhance my life or my future. And thinking back, I'm like, wow, if I would have put that $100 in a Roth IRA, like how much it would have impacted my life now. And
if I didn't know, we would have known.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
I was not aware. I didn't know what a Roth IRA was. I didn't even know it existed at the time. You know, I didn't find that out until 7 years ago what that was. And That's why I think it's so important that we talk about this and just give the information that we didn't know.
No, it's really important. I'm so grateful. I think my kids junior year, they start having personal finance class and we don't have that. I wish we would have that. I mean, I still teach them things here and there, but you know, they will only listen for so much. But yeah, if we would have known, we would be retiring already.
I know. Like, that's crazy to believe that if we would have started at that age. I feel like me and you were really close in high school and we still are, but we're like, we worked at the same place, like Kmart, you know, we worked there in the shoe department and we were bringing in pretty decent money. Like, it was okay for our age, for high schoolers. And what did we do with it? Like, we were still living at home with our parents, but we spent it. Like, we didn't make a plan. We didn't save much of it. Like, well, at least I didn't.
So funny enough, my parents were pretty much spenders. My mom was good at saving, but I think we had work the summer that we were, I was 15, you were 16, and we were both working downtown. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
We were at different jobs. It was like coincidence. I just remember like walking all the way to have lunch with you. Mm-hmm. It was like 10 blocks for me.
Right.
But I walked anyway. And that money, my mom had asked me, do you want a Sweet 16 or do you want a computer? And I was like, we already have a computer. I'll do a Sweet 16. But the money that I had that I worked for that summer had to go to that. So it's not like we really had money for that. So it went to that. And then when we started working at, well, it was Meldisco inside of Kmart, mm-hmm. that money, I think, went to like my senior year stuff. Mm-hmm. I had to pay for like, what was it called? Like your dues.
Oh, yeah. Senior dues.
So a lot of the stuff did come out of my money.
Yes.
Like prom tickets and things like that. So I did have to pay for that. My parents didn't have enough money for me to do that stuff. I'd like junior prom. I almost didn't go to junior prom. I couldn't afford it. And I wasn't one to like ask my parents for money. I was just like, hey, this is coming up. If they didn't say anything, I was like, oh, I guess they can't afford it. And then I had two friends from high school who paid for my junior prom tickets. And then I literally went to, I don't know if you remember the store Deb.
Oh, yes.
But I went to the clearance rack at Deb and I was like, I want a short dress. But they only had this long dress and it was $10. So I got it and my mom just cut it for me. And that was it. Like literally, it was just, you know, that's how you know it was pretty, we didn't have any money. So a lot of my stuff, I couldn't really save much. And I also had to pay for the bus to go home and things like that. And when I graduated, my dad did give me a car. And then my mom gave me my cell phone. So they were like, here's your two bills.
Here's your two bills. Welcome to adulthood.
Here's your two bills. Welcome to adulthood. But I'm so grateful that I, you know, while I was there, I went to college and they didn't charge me like rent or anything.
Yes.
So the money that I feel like while working and going to school, I probably could have done a little bit more. But again, I still had like my expenses and I had to pay for parking at my job and at school. So I was paying probably over $100 a month just in parking in two places. So that was, yeah, tough. And then paying for books and stuff. So I don't think I had a lot of ways to save because I had so much to pay out.
Yeah.
It's such is life.
Yeah, I do remember having to pay for all that stuff too. And so my parents were separated when I was in middle school and high school. And my mom did at one point receive like child support. So that was something that was for us, it was helpful. Also working helped, you know, pay for all that stuff too. So, but I honestly, like, I don't remember what else I did with my money. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. And it's sad because looking back, I'm like, wow, I could have did so much better. Like if I had that knowledge, but I didn't. So I can't change that, but we can try to impact future generations and share the knowledge that we learned along the way.
Yes.
I remember calling you and telling you, Jessica, I just read this book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You have to read it. And then I feel like that was the part that everything changed for us. And we were like, oh, there's other people out there who have financial advice and it doesn't necessarily align with Dave Ramsey's advice, but it's good advice. So that's when we started like really having conversations and like branching out and thinking about other places to get advice. So what other resources did you use that enlightened you?
After I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I always go down a rabbit hole when I start reading a new author. So for Dave Ramsey, I think I read like three of his books. And then Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he has like another book, kind of like a sequel, I guess, to Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I read that one. So it was very interesting. I feel like they're completely different, right? You have one who's like no debt. Then you have the other one's like leverage debts. And it's just like, so I kind of like in my personal life, mix them both where I feel like I don't want any personal debt, but I will leverage business debt. if that makes sense. So I try to do it that way. I wanted to learn more about investing after I, you know, read these books. So one of my go-to books will be A Simple Path to Wealth. It's very basics of investing. And if it's something that people are looking forward to learn about, that is awesome. Basics of 401k, anything about IRAs, where you should put your money into, like what investments, like it's very specific. And I think that is what helped me. I did take like a webinar on investing, but there's something about that book that's really good for people. So I highly recommend that one.
I haven't read that one yet. So that'll be next on my go-to books to read.
Your audio, right? Because you normally use audios.
I do. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of reading a physical book, but I do like listening to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have this thing where I can't pay attention for a long time when I'm reading.
So, and I'm like that with the opposite. Mm-hmm. So if I listen to audio too long, I'm just like looking for something else to do while I'm doing it. So for me, a hard copy in my hand keeps me there. So I'm just like I have to sit there. Sometimes, you know, my mind wanders off, but I come back. And I like to like highlight things. So it's funny because it works both ways.
I'm actually reading a book for work, Fierce Conversations, and I have the physical book. So I've been highlighting and stuff. And it is nice, you know, having like the physical copy in your hand. But I'm so used to just listening to audio, just popping an AirPod in and while I'm working. But since I became a manager at work, it's been hard to do that with my current role. So I haven't had the time to put an AirPod in and listen to anything. But in my old role, I used to do that a lot. I did read The Richest Man in Babylon. That was a good book to read.
I haven't read that one.
That one was interesting. It's live below your means and make sure you invest. And it was, it's, I want to say it's kind of similar to Dave Ramsey. It's a little ish, I guess. Dave Ramsey ish.
Dave ish.
But I did like
people
that
say
book.
That about, is it Suze Orman?
Oh yeah, Suze Orman.
Did I say her name right? Suze Orman. I guess she's like the original.
Yes.
I've never read any of her stuff. I just heard things about her, but I think she's also very similar in that aspect as well.
Yeah.
But I love that when, you know, you recommended Rich Dad Poor Dad, that it just kind of opened doors to more possibilities and just like, it's not one way. It stopped us being judgmental and just like, learning more stuff.
Yeah, it was definitely like an eye opener for me because I was just like, Dave Ramsey's the right way. Like you follow these steps and everything will be great. But and I do have to say, like for financial peace, which is what he calls his content or his course, it does give you the most financial peace, I would say, like to do the plan his way. But for financial wealth, it's probably not the quickest way to get there.
Yeah. I mean, it does give you financial peace in the sense of because the plan is there, but it also very stressed.
Yes.
So I don't know like if that will give you some peace, but yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely highly recommends reading other books and expanding financial capacity. I know that I have probably more books that I have read. I just don't have can't remember them. My brain is short term. I have short term memory, guys. Yes.
And I think one thing I didn't share about doing the program was how we cut everything out, like how much we cut out. I don't think I shared that in my story. Yeah. And how limited we were with what we were doing and the fun we had and how we said no to things. And we would get invites to go do things and we would say no because we didn't have the money. We didn't go on vacations, you know, any of the fun stuff. So the most we did was gave ourselves an eat out budget of $100 a month. And we, for the most part, we were pretty strict with that budget. And a few times we went over. But there were so many things that we said no to, like going out to eat when people invited us, going out for a drink after work, you know, anything like that. And people were like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll pay for you. And we were like, it's not about that. Like we could have the money if we wanted to, but we're, you know, focusing on this right now. And it was just, kind of a struggle.
It's kind of like the complete opposite of, you know, how you said where when you start making money, then you start doing all these charges and things like that, where this way was just like complete opposite of doing that. And I can say like I go through phases with that now, right? You know, we go through different promotions or jobs and we start making more money, but then there's a point in there that we're just not making better decisions or like, wait, we got more money, we can do more stuff. And I kind of went with a period of like, wait, there's more money, more vacations, right? So sometimes you have to like reevaluate everything and just, you know, say goodbye day.
And sometimes you have to reel yourself back in sometimes because you're like, all right, you know, I let a little bit of that reel loose, but now I have to like rein it back in because I'm like overdoing it. And that's what I mean. Like every month is a new fresh start. I don't think about what happened last 2 months or so and like what's going on or what I did. I'm like, let me just focus on the following month and plan ahead and figure out ways I can improve and change, but not being so hard on myself like I was before, so strict with my spending.
Yeah. And a lot of that stuff too does stem from childhood because we were so limited. We were limited to things, and that comes in with mindset and are having limiting beliefs. Like, what are limiting beliefs? And it's, you know, what kind of controlled our money mindset growing up till now. So like, you know, it's, you have to like relearn, I guess would be the better word, relearn everything. And it's okay to have mess ups. It happens. You just got to get back on track.
And I think growing up too, like when the first house I explained, like it was condemned. And then my mom, when they separated, we were living in my mom's house and then she ended up losing the house. But we never really talked about the struggle behind it. Like we never discussed that as a family.
Yeah, you made me think though, because I was talking about childhood, but I was talking about my childhood in Philly. And before Philly, we came from North Jersey and we were there for 7 years. Well, I was born there until I was seven. And to think back, I remember like apartment hopping. So like it was pretty unstable from one apartment to the next apartment to the next apartment, living with my grandmom to another apartment. And then I think we finally came to Philly. It was like from hop. So it was pretty unstable until I got to Philly. And then it felt like a culture shock because it was just like, yeah, that was unstable, but now you brought me in the middle of the hood. And I always tell people, like, yeah, my first month here, I got lice and the chicken pox. I was like, why did you bring me here? But yeah, so even that kind of shows a lot of struggle my first 7 years of life. I can't remember before, probably before three, but I know from 3 to 7, we were definitely hopping around a lot. And I know that when, you know, we think about families, we want to prevent that from happening to our kids because then they jump around in a lot of schools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we do have like little things in there that kind of shaped how we want to handle our money now.
Yeah, I remember in between when my parents separated, we were living with my grandmom for a while until my mom bought that house. But yeah, and then after that, after she lost that house, it was just renting, and then she would lose the place she was renting. And then, yeah, so it just didn't quite work out. But yeah, eventually I was quick to move out at 18, very quick. And looking back, I kind of like regret the way I did move out because I felt like I should have been helping her more, but at the same time I just didn't feel like I was in the best situation.
And that's okay. I do want to say some takeaways for this segment of childhood. And sometimes a lot of money problems come from childhood and a lot of trauma comes from childhood. But one of the things that when you look back, you should sit and think about, you know, your limiting beliefs and what is limiting you from doing better now, if that's what you're struggling with. What do you think you can change from that? From your childhood and what you think you can do better. And that's something that you probably can write down and it would help you to move forward because it's something that we want to get rid of, move on, and have a better life for our future.
And I think instead of using like, you know, I can't afford that, maybe like I didn't budget for that this time, but maybe let's figure out a way that we can buy that or we can make this happen. I think that's important too, is to think, if you want to say I can't afford this yet, you know, putting that yet at the end is helpful, but just not leaving it there as I can't afford it because that's like a limited mindset or limiting belief.
Yes, that is. It is. Yeah. Just changing the way you word stuff, especially when you're speaking to your children and things like that. So yeah. So it's important to figure out, you know, your money feelings. What do you want to do with money and how we can change your bad habits to good habits? And obviously it all stems from our childhood and how it has shaped us. So we just have to change it in some form.
So just wanted to mention those books again that we read, The Simple Path to Wealth, just read, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Total Money Makeover, we both read, The Richest Man in Babylon, I read, and all great books to read if you want to dive more into your financial knowledge and join us on this journey of financial development and progress.
And so financial freedom.
You can also find us on Instagram, Financial Progress Podcast. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye.